This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
On tonight's show, we'll be talking to Toni Royston and her son Campbell about their real estate agency and how smaller, more personal agencies are better. Of course, we'll be looking at current rates in the marketplace, which is our rates check segment, and some of the sales over the past weekend. And tonight on Gayborhoods, we're looking at which suburb we're looking at, Russ?
We're going to look out west. We're looking at stunning Yarraville.
Oh, goodness, that's a Gayborhood if I ever heard of one. We'll also be finding out about buying off the plan apartments, which is very important. The tips, the tricks, the advantages, the disadvantages, questions you must ask.
Well, that is right. And listen, we're all here on a real estate journey. We're not experts in real estate, but we've decided to ask experts to come in and give us their expert opinion, share their experience and their knowledge together.
Always a favourite segment, Russ, rates check. It's important what's happening in the marketplace. I never thought I'd hear myself saying that. But anyway, what's happening in the marketplace
David,
tonight?
David, I've got one question for you. How low can they go?
Don't know. How low have they gone this week? Like, last week we had a couple of really low rates and I don't think they'd actually changed from the week before. There was only just a little bit of wrangling around. Have they gone down lower this week?
Well, slightly. There's a new player on the block and this person may have been around for a little bit longer, but loans.com.au have brought it all the way down to 3.49%, which I'm loving. $520 setup fee. So the top three this week are all pretty good. Loans.com.au, 3.49%. ING Direct, 3.67%. And HSBC Banks, 3.73%. They're all variable.
And they're not they're the three lowest this week. So we didn't hear a mention of any of those three last week. So they've actually savagely cut a little bit further.
Yeah, our lowest was UBank last week.
That's
at 3.74.
Right.
So they're slowly coming down. So the lowest this week is 3.49%. So big banks, we're still looking at NAB. The black and the red, they're still our favourite, 4.2% with a $600 setup fee. So
the setup fee's not uncommon, so that's okay that it's there. But at the same time, some of those other players are coming in much lower than, certainly much lower than the big four.
Well, I think the public is saying, hey, to the big four, we're over this. And they're shopping around at the moment. My look today on Rates Check, there were at least 20 or 30 different players in the game at the moment. So,
wow. So it's worth doing a little bit of research. And certainly those three, who were they again, Russ?
We've got Loans.com,
yep.
ING Direct,
yep.
And HSBC Bank.
They're the ones to go and maybe approach.
Now, last week in auctions,
yes,
this is my favourite part of the segment, 486 auctions, 81% clearance rate.
High clearance rate, low number of auctions, isn't it?
Absolutely, because same time last year, 824
Whoa.
Auctions. So what's going on there? We might have to ask our guests tonight what's going on with the with the lower auction rates. Now,
I think that maybe the clearance rate is a little bit higher because there's obviously a lack of supply. I never thought I'd be saying that either, but there is a lack of supply, obviously, in the marketplace. So the clearance rate, 80-something percent, is pretty high.
Exactly right. Now, the big seller for this week was a property in Kew.
Yeah?
6.5 mil.
That's not an apartment, is it?
It's a house.
It's a house,
15 Barry Street, Kew. So yeah. I'm ready to move in there tomorrow.
Do we have anything in the more affordable area?
We certainly do. There's quite a few affordable houses around if you want to live in, Mornington, Melton West, Rosebud.
What sort of results are we hearing
Hoppers
from
Hoppers Crossing, Whereabye.
These are houses?
What sort of
house prices are we looking in the lower
325K
end?
Mark they're all going for.
Really?
Yeah, bargain, if you want to enter the market.
Okay, so they're in outer suburbs, but still that's quite affordable.
Whereabye's not camp enough for me. I shouldn't say that on air. But
It might feature as a gayburb at some stage in our program over the weeks, because I know that we have a lot of friends out that way. So,
but for those folk who are entering the market, I mean, you can pick up a flat in Essendon for only 253K. So
is that a one-bedroom flat?
one-bedroom flat in Essendon, $253K.
That's pretty cheap. And once again, you know, we talked about it last week. If you were maybe a maybe not a first-home buyer yet, but you were thinking, oh, look, you know, I might buy a property to invest and maybe see if it grows or at least get some equity back into it, that's sort of an affordable area that you could borrow as long as you had a little bit of a deposit. But obviously the deposit's going to be nowhere near as big as, you know, a $500,000 property. You could actually get in there, get a loan from one of our low-rate loan people, and
away they go. Well, what I like about the bargain apartments this year, this week, is the three of the top five are what I would categorise in a city, so Essendon, Maribyrnong, and Kensington.
Okay, so you can still pick up an inner city flat. Well, they're all sort of within 10 kilometres or so of the city, so you're not going to be far-flung areas and a great sort of first purchase.
No.
Or investing purchase. Were there any top apartment sales?
There most certainly were, and I love these. This is right up my alley.
Yeah.
Williamstown, 1.685K. So ooh, if you want a view, 56 Bayview. $1.5 million over at Bentley East. God, I wouldn't have picked Bentley East to be that expensive.
For an apartment?
For an apartment, yeah.
Must be a zhushy looking block. Maybe it's got a view of Bentley West.
Probably does.
It could.
Probably does. And like my friend Paul, who lives in Brighton, here's something for him to buy. 1.266K for a nice flat there.
Sold.
You're going to buy that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit deposit down on that one.
That's a little bit of a deposit.
You're looking for your first place. So,
I am.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on.
Well, tonight we're pleased to be talking with Tony and Campbell Royston from Royston Realty about the benefits of engaging a boutique agency. And then later on in the show, we're going to be talking about some important information about buying off the plan. So, but firstly, I'm going to let everybody know a little bit about Royston Realty. They're a boutique agency that provides a personalised service to investors, vendors, purchasers and landlords. And Tony Royston's the director and the officer in effective control of Royston. She's had over 20 years experience working in Melbourne's property industry and has held senior executive positions at some of Melbourne's top developers, which gives her a vast knowledge and contact base. And Campbell Royston has a deep understanding of all aspects of real estate and particularly has expertise in property investment, in buyer's advocacy, in vendor representation and property management. So welcome, Tony and Campbell.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Lots of experience in the room with Tony. I know you've been practicing real estate for a long time.
Absolutely. Not so much of traditional real estate over those years. It's been experience with a lot of developers, a lot of off the plan.
Yeah.
And so that certainly brought about a lot of expertise over the years in that area.
But you decided to change that about 5 years ago by setting up your own agency. Now, you could have set up an agency and bought the big fancy schmancy cars and employed about 17 young gun hot salespeople, but you said, no, I'm going
to
set up something.
Now you're getting me excited.
Well, I know that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, but you can deal with those people. But you decided to set up a very small agency, and there's a reason behind that.
Absolutely. Look, I think part of it's age too. I wanted to get a focus back, a genuine focus back on people.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas the larger agencies are concentrated on volume and putting people through the machine, it was really important to have time to invest in clients, to build relationships. And it was about, I guess, engaging with people and finding out what their needs and their hopes and desires were for themselves and the property experience.
See, I think, a lot of people would have heard of different large real estate agencies and all they care about is getting your listing to sell your property and then when they do that, you know, the last $10,000 or $20,000 that might make a difference to us when we're selling the property, they're going, oh, that's only worth a few hundred dollars worth of commission. We've got the sale, we've got the commission, let's just get that signed off. So this is a different sort of approach because you're saying, I want to know who you are and understand. Yeah.
Well, for example, where we can, we like to sell people's listings off market,
mm-hmm,
for a start. So if we can achieve that, where they're not paying anything for marketing, And if we can, particularly in the apartment market, we've just done a couple in South Melbourne, whereby the vendors didn't pay any marketing fees whatsoever. Yes, they did pay commission. I've got to eat and pay
for marketing. Well, exactly. You've got an office to run as well.
Yeah, exactly. So wherever possible, we try and sell properties off market. And if we can't do that, if time is prohibitive, we will. The last one we went to auction, it was a 3-week auction period because of the timing of some people building. And what we did there is we suggested just to do realestate.com. Anyone that's interested in property, whether it's renting, mm-hmm. whether it's buying, whether it's selling, everyone goes to one place.
And it's realestate.com.
So you put a listing on there. Is it necessary to be in a larger agency's book? Is print media still working?
I don't think it does. And no. It was funny, I was talking to a friend of mine who is looking at selling his place, and he was saying to me, I've been to this agency and they said, it's going to cost this much for advertising. I said, basically, they're going to put you online, and if they put you on one site, usually they'll put you on all 9 sites that there are, and it's just the click of a button. We're not talking $5,000 worth of advertising. If they put you in the newspaper, it should be a property that's worth over $5 million or something like that, because they're the only ways that they're going to be maybe taken to a broader area and justify those costs. So you're saying you don't have to spend a fortune. Well, we all know that.
Well, but some people, listen to what they're told. And a lot of that in the big agencies is about driving their business. So we're different. We're focused on the people and assisting them into getting where they need to go, mm-hmm. whereas most of the larger agencies that are the machines use listings to build their database, and they use the print media and other forms of media to build their brand.
Now, Campbell, you do you look after another side of the business. Do you want to tell us what you're looking after at the moment?
I do. So at the moment, I'm heading up the property management division,
mm-hmm.
As well as working with some select clients for buyer's advocacy as well. Particularly with downsizers.
Right.
So
the property management part, that's mm-hmm. looking after a rental book.
Rent,
so,
yeah.
Because we had Liana Slepetsky, thank mm-hmm. you, and she was a property manager, and she gave us tips on, renting and how you get above all the other applicants a few weeks ago. So you're basically looking after a property book of people who own apartments, and you're saying, okay, well, we'll manage your property and make sure you get the right tenants and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, we not only look after apartments, but also houses, townhouses. Typically, the properties that we manage comprise of inner city properties.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the properties that we look after are our clients' properties, and that's actually why we introduced property management into our business model 12 months ago, was because we had found that our clients were so happy with the property investment experience at the front end and with the sourcing of the property and the facilitating the acquisition of the investment property. And then when it came actually time to settle and to rent out their investment, they were going to the larger agencies and they weren't receiving the same level of service or personalised care.
But they were thinking, why can't you look after it for us?
Mm. Basically, they just want us to do everything.
Yeah.
And we've decided maybe that's a good way to be and absolutely. To control the whole process, just to make sure that our clients are happy. Because at the end of the day, we've got clients that have secured 5, 6, 7 properties to us mm-hmm. and have been with us for many years, and we are a referral-based business.
So that's a testament to your personalised service. People are saying, I want to stick with the people that have helped me go through the process of buying and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's humbling, I guess, that our clients feel that way, and we're quite proud that we do operate off referrals, and we have had clients for many, many years and have developed not only good professional working relationships, but friendships with our clients mm-hmm. as well. And mm. I know Tony's been to a few weddings of our clients.
Wow.
And in comparison to my background working in other traditional real estate agencies, there's a huge difference in the type of relationships that we can afford to have with our clients.
I can imagine you as a buyer's representative at an auction and just putting in that final killer bid.
That's my signature move.
Well, you are quite tall, and I think, yeah, you know, you'd sort of be just lurking up the back there going, oh, yes, I can see what's going
wait
on all over
it,
the place.
Wait bang.
For bang. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think the height helps maintaining eye contact with the auctioneer as well. So I can just give them a little wink sometimes.
Yep, put them off their game.
Yeah, well, that would work well. So, also, I think buyer's advocacy, what does that encompass?
So, as I mentioned, quite a few of my clients have been downsizers. So, typically, there's a time poor professional people who may be thinking that they want to get rid of the family home. All of the kids have moved out of the property. They want a low maintenance lifestyle. They want to be able to travel. They may want to move in from, you know, the middle ring suburbs or the outer suburbs a little bit closer into the city for more of a lifestyle. So, basically, I will help find the property for them, help negotiate the acquisition of the property, and guide them all the way through to settlement.
So instead of spending all weekend going through the papers and all that sort of stuff, that you get to know them, and then that way you understand what they're looking for.
Exactly.
And might say, I'll go and see these three properties next week at your leisure because this is what.
Yes, I mean, I actually go one step further. Because we are quite controlling, I will actually take my clients to the properties I want them
Fair
to
enough.
See. I will point out the pros and the cons of each property. It may be just established properties. It may be just off the plan properties. It may be a mixture of the two. Also, because we do have these relationships in the industry, we also get some off-market properties from other agents that may not be available to you know, the person looking on realestate.com that hasn't popped up if it's a really hot area or a hot property for the area. So we're able to facilitate all of that on behalf of our clients.
Okay. Look, we're talking to Tony and Campbell Royston from Royston Realty about the benefits of engaging in a boutique agency. Well, it's that time of the week again for our Gayborhood of the Week. And Russ, tell me, which is our Gayborhood this week?
We are off to Yarraville. Come on, you Westies. Get out your slick back hair and your comb and let's have a great old night together. So, Westies, you live in Yarraville.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous place. There are some famous people that live out there with you. Adam Hills and Dave O'Neill are from Yarraville, would you believe?
Really?
And for us golden oldies, the 50-plus age group, Ross Hannaford from Daddy Cool.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yes, that's right.
Bass player.
He was. Ooh. So, yes. You're a young 50-year-old, David.
Weird glasses, but yeah, big curly hair. But nevertheless, what happens out in Gayborhood, Yarraville? What makes it a Gayborhood?
Well, this is what makes it a Gayborhood. Williamstown is at the snob end of the West.
Right, beautiful suburb.
Yarraville is at the gay and lesbian end of the West, and we love it because of its community.
What sort of community are we talking about?
Well, would you believe there is a football club called the Yarraville Glory Football Club? Would you believe that?
And what else happens in Yarraville? Because it's quite a community feel. It's a nice little set of streets. It's very sort of,
Yarraville Village, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like a villagey feel. That's what it is. And there's some great houses out there too.
Victorian, lots of Victorian architecture going on
exactly
in Yarraville.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep, Jess very Stevens nice. Will tell you that, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, listen, there are a couple of things that got my eye as to reasons why I might want to live out in Yarraville. We have the Yarraville Mouth Organ Band.
Wow.
Goodness.
We also have the Maribyrnong Orchid Society meets in Yarraville.
Stop.
No, I can't. And the Footscray and District YMCA Garden Club also meet in Yarraville. So I'm telling you, if you're looking for a good time, Yazza is it.
Too much.
That and also a bowls club, I assume, as well. That would certainly attract me out there. But, you know, I'm a young, hip, happening...
And you are taken care of, trust me.
...gay man, and I want to live in Yarraville. There's something else. I mean, obviously, there's a sense of community, a feeling of a village sort of thing. And obviously, more people... from our GLBTIQ community that live out there. So,
okay. So if you're young
and
you're hot and you wear those tight jeans that I can no longer wear.
Skinny jeans.
Skinny jeans, you know. You know how to slick back the hair and you're pretty damn cool. Well, you would want to go to the Commercial Hotel in Yarraville.
Facial hair people only apply?
Young, hip and happening.
Hipsters.
Yep.
The Commercial Facial Hotel, hair, whether you're a woman or a man.
The Commercial Hotel still does drag.
Really?
Good old-fashioned drag out at the Commercial Hotel in Yarraville. Big, big drag shows every summer.
Didn't know.
No, I didn't know either.
Can I get a good coffee over in Yarraville?
I reckon you'd be able to get a great coffee at Alpha Bakehouse.
They'd probably have a skinny decaf macchiato latte, soy, organic.
Well, there couldn't be anything better than the Jasmine Inn.
Yes. Well, tell me what happens at the Jasmine Inn.
You get a bit of Thai food at the Jasmine Inn.
Ooh.
Mm. Or something called the House Frau.
What's the House Frau?
It's got to be German.
It is a bit of German if you're into bread and cakes.
Oh.
So, look, and let's not forget, let's bring it together, boys.
Yeah, please.
The Sun Theatre.
Oh, yeah, classic. The Sun Theatre's fantastic.
Good old Art Deco theatre, you know. If you were going somewhere where you wanted to go and see, I don't know, that Ab Fab movie or The Sum of Us or what was that... that very popular gay show we saw last year at the cinema.
I don't know. I'm sure we saw it, though.
It was very famous.
It would have been showing in Yarraville as well, though.
It was showing in Yarraville.
So, once again, it's one of the many suburbs that we're going to talk about over the next however many years that we're on air, where people feel comfortable, they feel okay expressing themselves as who they are and living in a village as GLBTIQ people do.
And it is only, give or take, 10 minutes from the city.
Yeah, that's true. Straight over the bridge and you're there.
Yep. And our community has just gone straight in there and blended right in with everybody else, which is what we love.
Well, I understand it's popular with the lesbians because you do get a lot of space in the properties that you purchase there, and the houses are a little bit bigger than you would get closer to the city.
Well, so especially if you're a couple and you have a couple of kids.
Mm.
And this is the interesting point about Yarraville. It is in the top 10 of where gay families like to move to.
Top 10.
So
we've done our research. There in the West.
Now, whilst typically a three-bedroom house is worth more than $1 million in Yarraville, last weekend, 28 Francis Street only went for $850,000.
Well, that could be because it's on Francis Street, which is a bit of a busy thoroughfare.
Really?
Yeah, it can be a little bit. Anyway, but at the same time, there are some beautiful little quiet streets in Yarraville as well. And it's a very groovy suburb.
The kettle's on. You're listening to Our House. You're listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
Well, what are we going to talk about now, boys? I think it's time to ask our special guests about buying off the plan.
Yes, we have Tony and Campbell Royston here from Royston Realty, and they are a boutique agency, small agency, very close relationships with their clients. Now, Tony, you have vast experience from before you set up this agency in selling for developers off the plan or making sure that they can flog their products. But the point is, you know, I mean, there are some great properties to be bought off the plan. I bought all of my properties off the plan, but there are tips, aren't there, to buying off the plan?
I think it's all about due diligence and your research. And if you're looking at off the plan and you're doing it by yourself, you're going to be walking into displays where the people in the displays are going to go, will be telling you that is the best product to be buying.
Everything looks so good in those tiny little displays. It looks enormous as well.
Well, I think buying off the plan has come a long way now, and developers are putting in kitchens and bathrooms. People can touch and feel fixtures and fittings. This all helps. Plus, with the marketing expertise, with renders, people can see what the building is going to look like. And this is in the interests of not only the buyer but also the developer, because it means that if they're producing this and they then build what they're showing people at that marketing stage, that people will trust In their next development.
So would it be a good idea, and I know, Campbell, you probably know about this as well, would it be a good idea to take photos of that display suite and maybe of those surfaces and things like that to make sure you get those things?
I mean, you definitely could, but I would probably be looking in the contract of sale.
So the contract will specify. Yeah.
So generally most good developers will list the fixtures and finishings within the contract of sale. One thing to look out for, which I'm sure we'd always recommend that somebody hire an experienced conveyancer or property lawyer to review a contract before signing it. And one of the things that they'll will point out is to ensure that the developer hasn't put melee, oven or like. Uh-huh. So that's right. Sometimes when things can be substituted across. But if they put in melee, oven, this is the product code, that's what you're going to get.
You want to get a melee oven. You don't want a Barbie's cupcake oven. You want the real thing. Exactly. Whatever they say they're going to provide. So that's definitely a good tip, I think, for anybody that's considering buying off the plan.
Absolutely.
Tony, what other sorts of tips do you think people should be wary of? Or, should you take a friend to look at the displays and things like that? Or maybe, well, I'm just thinking, Campbell, I'd take you along because you're a buyer's advocate, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is basically what our business is, and not only myself and Tony, but the other people that work within our business are all well-versed in off the plan. And we would never... Before really even looking at displays, we would first establish sort of their criteria, find out what's important to them, and then find what may be out there. So sometimes there'll be instances where, we'll get the brief from the client and then we say, look, there's actually nothing to buy. And they go, what are you talking about? There's thousands of apartments on the market in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. What do you mean there's nothing to buy?
There are thousands.
Exactly. But we say there's nothing that we're happy with.
Okay.
So, and they go, what do you mean? And we just say, no, it's not a good time. We might wait a couple of months until it has to be something that we're really, really excited about. We have to perform our due diligence. We need to find out who the developer is, who the builder is, where the money's coming from to make sure that the project is going to go ahead and it's going to settle in a reasonable amount of time. And it will be a product that, you as the purchaser will have a smile on your face when Tony or myself are walking you through the completed product in, 14 to 18 months' time.
Sure.
Again, it just goes back to our relationship and client-first ethos, that we're not just going to, advise that you purchase something and then
not just
leave you.
Palm you off to the
exactly.
first available
and
apartment.
Then, yeah. So that's another thing, as Tony was saying, if you walk into a display, the people in the display are only concerned in selling you that one product, whereas
of course.
Because we can operate 100% independently, we can give you that unbiased opinion and advice that the people in the display aren't going to give you.
Paul, you're looking to buy off the plan at the moment, or you're looking for your first property?
Looking for my first property, and certainly off the plan is something that we've discussed. Mm. What would be the advantages to purchasing off the plan as opposed to purchasing an established property?
Well, purchasing off the plan, I think the most important thing is the saving the stamp duties. Mm. If you think about purchasing established property, you're looking at about a 5% on top of your property for stamp duty.
So on a $500,000 property, we're looking at about 25 grand.
Absolutely. Mm. When you are buying something off the plan and it hasn't commenced construction, all you pay for is the land value. Now, if you have a boutique development of, say, 12 apartments, you have a 12th of that land. So you will pay stamp duty on that portion of land.
But it might only be in the hundreds to $1,000 or a couple of $1,000s instead of $50,000.
Absolutely. So,
or
the more, apartments you have, your smaller smaller your land components, so the less stamp duty you pay. So generally speaking, yes, in, say, inner city fringe, if you're looking boutique, which we would say boutique, somewhere around about 50 apartments, 30-50 apartments, you might be paying, 4,000 on something that's worth, 600. There's a gigantic saving there, and that certainly is encouraging. Also, you can secure something at today's prices. And everybody's waiting for this bubble to burst and everyone's waiting for the prices to go down. It's just not happening. We've got 100,000 people coming into Melbourne every year.
Yeah.
People are saying, look, there's an oversupply. Well, everyone knows where the oversupply is. It's there already. I mean, it's in the CBD, it's in South Bank, it's in Docklands. And the banks make sure they know that is an oversupply because their lending rates are less. So if you wanted to buy something in the Docklands, you'll find that the lending rate is less than what you could get if you were buying, say, in Collingwood or South Yarra or somewhere in the inner city fringe.
So that means that if they were valuing your place, they would say, no, I'm sorry, that one isn't worth $750,000. We'll loan you up to $600,000 instead, and that's where you'd be possibly caught a little bit short.
The loan ratio is normally about 70%, sometimes less, because we know banks are risk adverse.
Uh-huh.
So they will protect themselves first and foremost. The other thing with buying off the plan is that it also qualifies people for good depreciation. If you're buying it as an investment, not only have you got something brand new that renters want to rent, they love brand new apartments, but you have great and significant tax savings through depreciation.
Yeah, which is what I've done myself, and I did buy one off the plan, and the depreciation allowances make a huge difference in negative gearing, which means you get a tax refund for buying a property that somebody's renting out because it's a negatively geared property, and brand new off the plan, the allowances are quite huge.
Yeah, you can depreciate not only the fixtures and fittings in the apartment itself, but you can also depreciate the building and also the lifts and security
the doors,
systems,
the swimming pool, everything, because you own a portion of that.
And that normally lasts, that depreciation for tax savings usually lasts for about 10 years and then it sort of falls off the cliff. So that's why it's a very big difference between buying an established property, particularly as an investment for tax benefits, as opposed to new.
They're pretty complex things, and I know Paul's head is swimming at the moment.
It is.
But they are complex issues, and, you know, you need some guidance possibly to get through. If you want to talk to anybody from Royster Realty, there will be a hyperlink on our podcast, which will go up tomorrow. But also there's a big home show on this weekend.
There is.
There's a huge home show on. It's on down at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre down near the Yarra, and it goes from Thursday through till Sunday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Are you going to be there, Tony?
Absolutely.
Can hardly wait for it, Campbell.
Me too. I'll be there.
A few long days.
It's but a long slog.
Look, it's a wonderful opportunity for people to come up and just have a chat about these things. I mean, people can be very frightened about off the plan,
sure.
And there's no need to if you're getting the right people to be on your team and to guide you through the whole experience.
And there's
it
a whole lot of other
frightening
exhibitors, so it's a huge show.
It's mainly for renovating and there's
renovating, building, lifestyle, a whole type of
So everything's represented at the home show. So it's probably a good idea if you're thinking about anything to do with homes to possibly go along to that home show. And of course, you can meet the lovely Tony and Campbell, who have been our great guests tonight on Our House.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.